Value Pack Dog Food, a phenomenal supporter of the working dog across the United States and the Arizona Working Dog Alliance. Go to specialty-feeds.com to find a distributor near you. Welcome back to another episode of Freecasting, where we talk about hounds, mules, and everything in between. We call it Freecasting because we definitely are freecasting in conversation. Kick back, turn that volume up, and let's take a listen.
Bueno, bueno.
Winner, winner.
That's pretty
winner,
cool.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Sarah was the first voice on the show.
I know. Maybe we should just put her on.
I'll hurt feelings.
He's not.
Yeah, 4 minutes. I'm 1 minute. 1 minute late.
There's nobody's feelings here that's going to get hurt.
Yeah. Writing down notes. I can write sometimes. Who is here tonight, the day before Thanksgiving? What's your plans, Jared? You want to just come to my house?
No, we're hunting tomorrow, first thing. And then we're not going to go crazy. We're just going to drive some roads real quick first thing in the morning and see if we can't luck out.
Yeah, let me tell you what happens when it's just real quick. Yep. Never ends up that way.
You end up getting the dog about 2 hours after dark.
It's dark. You're on across a fence you shouldn't be, whether it's reservation fence or private property fence.
Yep.
Who is this guy? Pushy. About time. I was 1 minute late past the normal 3 minutes late I was. Usually,
yeah. But, yeah, we'll go out real quick tomorrow, and then we'll hopefully be home by about noon, 1 o'clock, and she can start cooking.
It's safer to leave about noon, and then you can get home whenever you can get home.
Yeah. Yep. Oh. Well, I invited Brett on to wish him a happy birthday, but I don't think he likes
it. I got it tough today.
Oh, shoot.
Yep.
I know. He tried to call. I said, I'll call you back. Well, and I sent like 4 or 5 people, I'll call you back. And I've barely been going down the line trying to call people back. Been a busy day.
Yeah. You muted yourself.
That's a lot more peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Sounded a lot better for a second there. So, anyways, what's your plans, Benny? What do you got? You cooking or you not cooking for the one day?
No, I am absolutely not cooking. There were some kind of smart remarks here and there for the last couple of weeks that we could have brisket, we could have this, we could have that. I said, you guys can have whatever you feel like cooking.
Benny's making cup of noodle because it's
ramen. I've got a whole bunch of ramen.
Yep.
No, my first wife has been busy. She bought a big fat turkey. She invited our son's wife's family. So there you go. I don't know how many people's going to be here, but I know who's not cooking.
Brett, better disposition about Brett. I'm glad he looks a lot better. I don't know what you're looking at. I don't know about looking better. He ain't got no prettier. And better disposition.
Did you see that snow they got in Flagstaff? They're showing over the pass.
Yeah, they had snow going. This was on Sunday. They had
snow going over the pass in Flagstaff, and there's one hound truck going over the pass.
Was it Brandon?
No, I don't know who it was. It was a white Toyota.
Pretty nice dog box.
Bear hunters and snow hunters. All the Toyota rides.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think I know who that was. Actually, someone sent it to me, and maybe it was you, and I think I know who it was.
Yeah.
Benny, does anybody in your family still run hounds?
Are you the only one
in your family?
I'm the only one. The first Mohican and the last Mohican.
Everybody else was smart.
Yes. My oldest son used to go with me, and he let life get in the way, and I'm sure that if he tried to pick up hounds at this stage of his life, his first wife may not be his last wife.
Possibly. It's tough. We need to do a segment. Just what we should do is I should have everybody's wife get on.
No.
Talk about. What do you mean no? And talk about.
Sarah's got some bad stories about me. No way. There's one time I ran into my buddy in the mountain and he's like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just out here hunting. And he's like, you in between hunts? And I'm like, yeah, so I'm just out here for fun. And he's like, me too. And he's like, my camp's down in the valley if you want to just camp with me. And I was like, all right, sounds good. Well, we hunt for 3 days together. And he
comes off the mountain from calling his wife.
Comes in the wall tent, and he's like, you're retarded. How dumb can you get? And I'm like, what did I do?
Two more times, Cody King's coming on.
And I was all, what did I do? What happened? What happened? And he's like, when's the last time you talked to Sarah? And I was like, oh, that was like 3 days ago. And I told her I was going to be home that.
Yeah.
Good thing my wife ran into my buddy's wife.
That happens.
Yep.
That happens. And totally let her know you're still alive.
Yeah. Didn't even talk to her. Didn't tell her what I was doing.
Reading comments. My husband knew he married a hunting. I thought that was Jeremy from Louisiana. I'm just playing Jeremy. I sent him a link.
I called him today.
He said he was in a tree stand.
Oh, he might still be out hunting.
Maybe shooting a pig or something.
Yeah, I had hounds before I got married. I had hounds for several years before I got married. So she was dating a houndsman. She was engaged to a hound, you know, all of that deal. And we went through the deals back and forth. And I did say at one point, don't ever tell me it's you or the hounds. Because everybody that I know, they got that handed to them and they got rid of their dogs and their wife left anyway. So as much as I'll hate it, as much as it'll hurt, much as I don't want to hear it, just leave me alone and say, see you later, chump.
Yep.
And here we are. So that never happened.
Look, I intend to go fully off the rails tonight. I'm mad. My dog got a tore up toenail, and you know how dangerous girls are about my broke nail. You can't hunt her tonight. My dog, Stinker, bone pile, Stinker, came home with a trap on her two toes right here, and I was out of town. And my son-in-law found her under the porch and still had it on. It's probably been on for 2 days. So her foot got all messed up, still hunted her. The bottom pads fused together, part of it. So now she just has this like one toe underneath, even though it's two toenails.
But you that's better her, for water races.
Even though, you know, she's a little bitch, she's not acting like one bone pile. So you might want to just not bring
yeah,
your dog
yeah, you know,
here.
I read a little more than that dog's excuses into that deal, bone pile. I thought, well, I'll bet little old Boney, he's got him some pink toenail polish on his own feet tonight, acting that way.
I had a dog go off a bluff and its hind legs swelled up like a watermelon. And I was at my buddy's ranch and he's like, I got a good vet and she's cheap. Just leave the dog with me and I'll take her to my vet. And I was like, deal. Well, he calls me 3 weeks later and he's like, hey, come get your dog. He's running around. I'm roading him, this and that. And I was like, all right, I'll come up and hunt with you this weekend. I'll grab that dog. Go up. I walk in the door, and that dog's in the house. His girlfriend at the time loved the dog. And I walk in the door, and all of a sudden, that dog stands up and starts packing that back leg, walking around.
Stinker does the same crap. I will watch her run around looking for cats. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I Stinker, she hops, she limps over to me. I'm all, really?
There you go, Boney.
He was sticking up for you. So I'm going to make Jared mad, but did you guys hear about the Florida thing? How much money they made for?
Oh, it's a ridiculous amount. It's
817,000 was the last I heard.
Well, and plus what, permits, hunting.
Well, yeah, I think they made 817,000 just in tags, right?
Yeah, and then the tag was $5, but permits for residents are like 15 or 25 or something.
Don't forget, you have to take the class and the hunter safety course and all that revenue. And we want to just, on this show, thank the anti-hunters who bought a tag tonight. we want to thank you for contributing the right way to the wildlife management and conservation. Now, Arizona anti-hunters, go buy a bear tag, save a bear, contribute to wildlife management and conservation. Matter of fact, get a lion tag too and save a lion.
Yep.
You know, while they're at it, they should go buy a bullet and contribute to the Pittman-Robinson Act.
Yes. And for $25, if you send the Arizona Working Dog Alliance $25, I will send you a lifetime coyote hunting tag. You can hunt all year long, wherever you want, when you want, except that night. How's that? See how easy that is? And save a coyote. Save you can buy coyote. As many of those tags as you want. You want to save 10 coyotes? Buy 10 tags from us.
Hey, maybe we'll do a change the name.
I think he's actually working on it right now. He said it's easy, and I just have to do some other stuff. So, and Chris Powell did a podcast. He's been pretty aggressive on like standing up for hunters again, you know, like getting out there. And I mean, my biggest thing, if I was going to talk about it, and the best thing you guys can do, any houndsmen, bird dogs, cattle dogs, any working dog, what we need to do is start a They have camo at the Capitol. We need to start a, you know, shake hands with the houndsmen or something, and then find a spot where the houndsmen go with their best dogs, and people can come listen to stories and play with the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I got Stinker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or I got some puppies. So that would, like, if we chose, like, go to Tucson, middle of the city somewhere, get a permit, do it right, make some brochures up, and have some, you know, hound thing, come up with a good name for it. Because you could go to Walmart and just sit in the parking lot, and people will come up to you.
Yep.
And talk to you about your dog. Did you? No, I did not see. Oh, that Meat Eater Podcast and Jaguars. I did not. Who dat?
That's my son. You can tell he doesn't come from my side of the gene pool.
No, what happened?
I'm standing up. So this is Justin, and you guys, he can answer. He'll get the headphones. How come he's not hunting hounds? Because he grew up hunting hounds.
Let's hear it. And you can't just say your dad's an asshole. We already know that. So we need a legitimate reason why you're not running dogs. Besides, you want to stay married and keep your job.
Well, I guess that's be a big part of it. But I don't ever know. I mean, I enjoy doing it whenever he had dogs and going out with him and just, you know, listening to him out there working and being out in the side of the mountain where nobody's done, you know, seems like nobody's ever been, you know, just out in the wilderness, just you and the dogs and your dad. And I don't know, I guess I just kind of grew out of it. Life got busy and I never went back to pursue that side of everything.
I think that's what happens a lot of times, is you maybe grow up doing it and then you become an adult and then realize adulting's stupid and you want to go back to running out.
Yeah. You know, when I guess ideally, you know, when my kids probably get to be teenagers, something like that, you know, I mean, I still miss going to the mountains and just going camping, you know, just disappearing for a weekend and just hiking around and, you know, just jumping off and disappearing from the world. And I miss doing that kind of stuff. You know, I'd like to get my kids back into it, but then at the same time, life happens.
Yeah, life gets in the way of a lot.
Yeah, it does. It ruins everything.
And you have kids?
I have a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, both boys.
So, I mean, have you ever just sat back and like, maybe I'll get a couple dogs and just poke around a little bit?
I've thought about it from time to time, but I guess it's one of those things that just never pulled the trigger, never did it. Never got serious into thinking about it. You know, just in the back of my mind a couple times.
I think nobody gets serious about hounds until you get a hound, and next thing you know, you got 8 hounds.
Or 15,
and then all of a sudden,
I used to have.
And then all of a sudden, you're serious, you know. And I think the good thing about my line of hounds has been pretty decent as far as I can let them sit for 3 months and then go hunt. And so I don't know why. I don't know if it's just how they built, but I think you should. I think you should just get one. Just get one for now. That's all it takes.
Just start the itch and scratch it just a little bit. Let it be like a mosquito bite. You scratch it and touch it that one time, and then it just gets worse and worse.
I think when you get out of it like that, and you used to do it, I think you should go with somebody that has hounds and see if that's what you want to get back into before you just... Not like you don't have connections for hounds. What'd she say? Live with them for a week. The houndsman or the hounds?
Same thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of them things. No one in my family was a houndsman, and I always wanted to do it. You know, even when we were doing Pinal County Search and Rescue, they had dogs, and I thought, man, I would like just to have a mule. Before I even had mule, I had horses, and 2 hounds that would track people, and I could track them faster than human on foot if I just had some good human-running dogs and go find these people, but I didn't get into it till I started a job. The guy had hounds, started going out with them, running coons. Same thing. A lot of these people are like coons in Arizona. There's no coons here. But when you're with a coon hunter in Arizona, there's a lot of coons in Arizona.
They happen to be everywhere at that point, don't they?
Well, yeah. And Picacho Peak. You remember Picacho Peak, Benny? I don't know if he can't hear me. But
can you hear any of this? Oh, we talk everything about him. He wouldn't know.
Exactly right. So
we drive Picacho Peak all the time.
Yeah, now they got signs on it that says property of the United States. Like they drained it. I mean, but that used to be the biggest coon hunting place ever. And then we'd go to Gila Bend by Paloma Ranch and we'd hunt all those reservoirs. And there's just lots of coons there too. So, I mean, it's a lot of fun. I think you should get back into it, you know, just to do better than your dad and piss off your wife. Blame it on your dad if your wife gets mad.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. So she married into it.
Exactly. Yeah. She should have known what's coming. So how long you been out of it, though? Like,
when was the last time I went hunting with you, Dad? Was I still a teenager? Probably a teenager. So I'm 38 right now. So 20 years-ish, roughly.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Definitely time to get one dog. Just one dog. I promise that's all you'll get.
I bet I got connections that could probably find me one.
Just mm-hmm. one. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
two.
See?
Yeah.
Well, what's gonna happen is Benny's gonna bring dogs home and say, hey, I'm gonna keep them at your house. Just tell your wife they're mine. And mm-hmm. he'll tell his wife they're yours. There you go.
Well, see, he'll send me on a run to go get a dog for him. And he doesn't have anywhere to keep it, so it'll have to go in my kennel. And you know, that's how,
even though he has all the property. Yep. And there's lots of people that'll give you one for free that do real good.
Mm-hmm. Because it's all about scratching that itch and getting started.
It's all about scratching that itch. So you ever just want to get back into it?
Oh, there's times where, like, living around here at the Guadalupe's, where we used to run dogs a lot, and that's where I'd like to go back, you know, and just disappear on the weekends and stuff. There's something about those mountains to me that's always attracted me to them. And that's where some of the best memories with Dad, you know, just running dogs, just sitting out there on the side of a canyon, listening to them working down in the bottom and going up on the top and just working all over the place.
You know, the good thing about that is you have a dad that can drop you off and pick you up now. And I think it'd be cool to get dogs out to go and have your kids get to hunt with Benny for, you know, long as they can, and then give them the itch, let it pass a generation, get them itch. That way they start doing dogs and you can just piggyback off them.
There you go.
And you can tell your wife it's for the kids. I promise it's for the kids.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. See, there you go. That's what you got to do. Got to get
one pup for your boys. Benny should just bring a couple puppies home for the boys and say Merry Christmas.
Oh, see, they would love that, because we actually got one last year. My dog, Blue Healer, he was about ready to die. I think he had actually passed at that point. I had to put him down. I said, I ain't getting no more dogs. We got one left. I ain't getting no more dogs. And my wife saw this little puppy that somebody had found in town on Facebook. And she had showed it to my youngest boy. And he's like, oh, that puppy is so cute. It was another Blue Healer. I'm like, I ain't getting no more dogs. And like a week later comes by, nobody's claimed it. And my little boy's like, oh, Daddy, that puppy is so cute. Can we please have him? And we have another dog now.
Yep.
Yeah, now he's a terrorist. And he needs to get cut, that's for sure. That's the first step in getting him lined out, is getting him cut and calming him down a little bit so he doesn't think that he rules the 5 square miles around our house, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think you got burned out a little bit as a kid?
No, I don't think I did. I always enjoyed it. I always liked going with him anytime he went.
Just grew up a little?
Yeah. I grew up and moved out of the house and moved here and moved there. I lived in Kansas. I lived in Arizona off and on. And I think that's a big part of what really just got me out of it and got me away from it all, was moving out of the house and moving around the country.
Are you back in New Mexico now?
Yeah, I live 200 yards from him right now.
There you go. Don't worry.
I'm here all the time now.
Don't worry. We'll make it happen. You can thank the Arizona Working Dog Alliance.
There you go.
Anybody on here in New Mexico wants to donate a puppy for his children.
Oh, he just said anybody on here from New Mexico wants to donate a puppy.
Yep. Just give Benny a call. What's going on, Jeremy?
Not nothing.
Talking to Benny's son, trying to figure out why he's not running dogs.
Life happens, huh?
It does. That's the key ingredient there, is life happens and you move out and you move away and you get out of the groove of going all the time. And then before you know it, you forgot what it was like to do it. And then you don't ever really get back into it because you got a million other things going on all the time.
Yeah.
Life happens. Time to make it more complicated. Benny break from cooking all week. Yep. Well, thanks for sharing your story.
Yeah, not a problem.
We're sorry you have
when
to
he
do
said,
it.
Hey, I got an answer. I got a question. You have the answer. I thought, man, I don't know what in the heck he's talking about. I don't know how I'd have an answer for anything, but
put you on the spot, ask you why you don't have him.
Yeah. I mean, he's taught me some stuff, but he hadn't taught me all of his secrets yet.
He's smarter than the rest of us, Chris. That's what the problem is.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly. Some of us like to follow in our dad's footsteps, but sometimes that ain't the smartest thing.
Yeah.
But you can pass it down to your kids and make them suffer like you did.
Yeah.
There you go. It was a rough life having to run dogs with Dad on the weekend.
Let's give a shout out to Cold Strike Gear, phenomenal supporter of the Arizona Working Dog Alliance, as well as the Freecast and Podcast. Head over to coldstrikegear.com for your hound gear and apparel. Let's help out those that help out the hound community. Jeremy, you getting any rain over there?
Yeah, we got about 3.5 inches yesterday, day before yesterday.
And some our way.
It's the first we've had since about 2 months ago.
We've gotten a little bit, huh, Jared?
We got 1.5 inches on Sunday.
You guys getting any rain over there in New Mexico?
Yeah, we got 1/2 inch. When was that, Dad? It was last weekend or week before? It was recent enough that 1/2 inch and these cold temperatures, you can still see the ground wet in the mornings and stuff like that. See the moisture in the ground. So it wasn't a whole lot, but it stuck around. It hadn't just dried right out right away.
We have a translate. Hang on.
They would what? Oh, he's saying by in our weather conditions, our temperatures and our moisture and everything right now. He said by about 7 o'clock in the morning, there'd be nowhere for those hounds, for those lions to hide from the hounds, because the conditions just make it nice for tracking them. Because the tracks don't burn up in the sun and the heat.
Yep.
That's kind of how it's been down south there, Jared? You're getting a lot of dew?
Not a lot of dew, but the moisture has ground in. That 1.5 inches, don't get me wrong, the ground's still sweating, but today we started a lion at 8 a.m. and we went through the ranch's horse pasture and around 2 o'clock, and he had some wild horses that tried stomping some dogs out. So scared the horses off, pulled the dogs out, and we just left. But that was at 2 o'clock. So we trailed for 6 hours today. And he was a big old, I don't want to say big, but he was a good, decent tom. And he was a scratching bugger. So he stunk pretty good.
Just going through, making sure everybody knew he was there?
I think there's a female in there because he trailed. I started him, say, up here. We went about 1.5 miles, 2 miles down. And then he horseshoed almost back up to where I started him. So, but he scratched the whole time.
So do you think, when a female's in heat, do you think they start really dumping the scent and scratching?
Oh yeah. No, he's leaving love notes.
And then if another lion comes through there, is he dumping on the same scratches? Like
I've seen that.
Or you think he's making like new scratches? Like, hey, look at me. I'm bigger.
Yeah. You know, I've seen where we've trailed the tom, hit a scratch, gone back 3-4 days later, and now there's 3-4 different scratches.
You sure those aren't your scratches, Jared?
I'm pretty sure.
Jared backing up, scratching on it.
Oh, yep. Yeah. I've witnessed him scratching.
Pecking.
Yep. But, you know, I mean, they get territorial just like anything else. Who's bigger, who's better.
Does a female spray like a house cat? We've never talked about that, have we?
I found a mound, my very first mound I've ever seen. I sent a picture of it to Benny, and my dogs would trail up and off of it. And the only reason I know this is a female is because we caught it the day before.
I'm going to sign off of here, guys, and get back to my family, get them home.
All right.
Thanks for coming on. We'll have a puppy to you soon.
All right. I guess I'll be waiting for another one.
All right.
There you go.
You guys have a good night. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you for coming on.
Yep, you too.
So a lot of people say human scent, but I've pissed on rocks and had a coyote take a crap on it.
Yes,
Rowdy, that's what he was doing.
Gosh darn it. You don't gotta...
He even took his shoes off and backed in. But did he scratch with his feet or his hands?
He's talented. He used one hand and the opposite foot.
But when I sent Benny that picture of that mound that female made, the dogs would leave out of a different direction, go for 1/2 mile or so, loop back into that mound, and go back out a different way. She went back into that mound 3 times that night. And she was a female for sure, because me and Dustin caught her the day before.
So what made her go back 3 times?
I don't know what made her go back, but she went. I think that was a calling card for a tom, because the day before we had a split race. So all the dogs were tight together, and then they hit this little rim, and some of the Dustin's dogs and two of my really good dogs peeled off to the left, and they went a little over a mile trailing that way. And then the other dogs went another quarter mile, half mile, and jumped that female and caught her right there. So me and Dustin were talking about it after we caught her and we got back to the truck. Mm-hmm. And he said there's probably a tom in there. And I went back in there the next day looking for that tom. And that's when I found that mound. And she went back into that mound three different times that night.
Has anybody seen a female push a mound too?
Push a mound?
Like back, like anything to no, like a scratch?
No, it looks like a mound. It's a mound of dirt. I got a picture. And I think she did it with her front feet because it looks like she pulled everything in a complete circle.
So she built it.
Yeah, she built
it. I got it.
I've seen two. And to me, they looked... Because there was all different sizes of turds. And if you stir it up, oh my gosh, it stinks like pure urine. And I just always kind of figured that it was something that females raising kittens right there in that piece of country did. And that was like a big, a major toilet for the family. But I don't know.
I just wonder if a female pisses like a house cat in that area, or do they back up to it, that tree? And
I think
it was. Has anybody ever talked about a female mountain lion spraying? Why wouldn't they spray an area like
a bobcat does, but I don't know nothing about a mountain lion.
I've never seen that. That's the first time I've seen a female
build a mound.
Yeah.
What's Casey got to say?
He says it's usually only places for
females with kids. See, that's kind of what I took out of it, Casey. It was like that was where she always was there raising kittens.
Okay.
So is that like a, hey, man, I got kittens right now. I can't breed to the male.
I think that's like, hey, man, don't pee and crap in my house. Get over there in the yard.
Yeah.
Go somewhere else. Maybe. Go somewhere else.
Maybe it was.
Maybe it is. I always thought they were calling cards for a tom saying they were in heat, but I could be 100% wrong. Casey knows more about it than I do.
But, Jared, if you find one again or go back to that one, dig mm-hmm. through it. Get a stick and dig through it and see what all different sizes of turds are in there.
Okay. I'll do that.
To me, it just looked to me like it was a toilet, a family toilet.
Yep.
Both of them. And both of them were the same. One was bigger than the other.
Yeah.
Because that mound was probably, if I can do it here, was probably about that big around.
And about that tall, you know, 8-10 inches tall. Maybe not, I wouldn't say a foot, but you could see her toe marks dragging duff back and everything.
I'll have to ask the biologist if he's ever seen anything about a female spraying. Because if you don't got a female spayed in your house cat, they'll spray all over the
place. Okay. I've never owned a house cat, so I don't know. But
I just wonder if a female does that out in the,
you know, you the read them books like that Ben Lilly book talking, and he had Dale Lee talking in his book Through a Letter, and Dale was saying, I think it was Dale, saying that house cats are almost the same as a mountain lion.
The mountain lion is the world's largest purring cat. So basically, yeah, they're just a house cat on steroids.
He said compared to his house cat, the house cats compared to the lions that he had in a cage, they acted identical.
I don't know. We always talk about the males. Always talk about the male.
Yep.
I agree with
because
Ratty.
The male is the trophy.
Yeah.
There's that word.
Trophy. Trophy. Yeah.
You know, the only biologist that I know that really knew about mountain lions, the first one was Harley Shaw. But he started out as a turkey biologist in Arizona, and they needed somebody to do that lion study on the spider ranch, and so they put Harley on it. And he hunted with the Lee brothers, and he hunted with George Goswick and those guys, and he had his own dogs for a long time. So he learned something more than the textbook. And then there's that other biologist, Ken, I can't think of his last name. He lives over there at Hillsboro too. He's the one he's probably the most knowledgeable biologist on the planet right now when it comes to mountain lions. He did the two studies over here in the San Andres Mountains by Las Cruces. And mm-hmm. he's done studies all over, but he's actually been out there and lived with the lions for years and years at a time. But
that's a Harley was the one.
Harley is the one that followed hounds to study lions.
Cat's a cat, probably right.
Cat. Is I don't a cat. Know. I've been in Africa and I've seen those African lions, and they don't remind me anything about our mountain lions, or just their demeanor, their attitude, the way they conduct themselves. And they're not, you know, they're not as solitary as as our cats are.
I wish our lions would act like African lions.
Do you pride up?
Lions, yeah, no. Do you know what African lions do when they get annoyed that you're hunting them?
They come stop. To you.
Yeah, they stop and come to you. You don't get them hard running lions.
But if you've ever been up close and personal out in the bush with no fences between you with an African lion, you'll discover that you're just a pipsqueak and it's not good for them to stop and want to fight.
And what are those 100-pound difference?
Oh, no. 100 pounds won't touch it.
I think they're about 500 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're huge.
They're big old buggers. But I was listening to this professional hunter talk in Africa, and they asked him why the African lion wasn't his favorite lion to hunt. And he said, they're adrenaline rush, but they're not hard. He's like, we'll find a track and we'll track it out and keep jumping that male lion until he gets pissed. And he just bays up in the bush and stares at it. And that's when they shoot it.
Well, you can find videos too, where he didn't just stay in the bush, that he brought it to them and they weren't prepared and everything goes to hell.
Yep. I wish mountain lions would do that with the dogs, and you wouldn't have them long days on jump races.
Well, I can take you to some country where if you get the lions caught, they'll come back down after you.
Oh, I bet.
What causes that aggression in that area?
It's got to be something in their genes, because every lion there, male and female alike, they all will get on you.
Hell, walking around in that stuff all day makes me kind of irritable too.
Well, next time I see you perched up in a tree all snotty, I'll get the hell out of your way.
That's the way I was earlier when Jared called me. So I'm a little wind-chapped.
Oh, I bet.
Nothing today? What were you doing today?
Deer hunting.
How long's your season?
Till October 1st till January 31st.
Oh, man, that's a season.
They got a lot of deer.
Yeah, we killed six of them.
Woof. Is that yours?
That's Benny's grandkids.
Oh,
Oh, not mine.
Benny's or my nephew. My nephew's
it might be
there.
Oh. No, mine are way up in the house. I'm hiding in my trailer in the back.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I wish Arizona had deer like that. In the old days, you were able to hunt does. You see all over Hunt Arizona and all that, all those, you know, everybody's mad because Game and Fish putting out a shit ton of tags down there in South Arizona, and no one's finding deer, and it's blamed on Game and Fish, not just the drought or...
No one's finding quality deer is the hard part. So 4 years ago, we went out and we were in this canyon, and there were, I don't know, probably 3-4 shooter bucks. Went in the next year, there was one shooter buck. Went in the next year, and it was nothing but does. And I think we saw one forky in there. And another guy, he doesn't look at Onyx because it would have showed he was camped right on top of it. It's not a hidden spring because it's on Onyx, but there's a spring right below him 200 yards.
It had water in it?
It had water in it. It's a seep coming out of the mountain. But where that guy was camped at, because he hiked in and camped on that hill, we shot 3 out of the 4 bucks off, like, within 100 yards of his tent, you know? Because we'd hike in there a mile every day, but he just camped right there, and it busted everything out, what have you. And then Sarah this year, she hunted, and... she saw deer, but she said there was nothing worth going after. Small basket rack bucks and forked horns.
That's what I'm after. You can't eat them horns.
Well, you only get 20 pounds, 30 pounds of meat off a coos deer anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't get much.
You don't get much.
I don't think people realize how little you get, because I had a 800-900-pound cow, and I got 3 milk crates full of meat. I mean, it's a couple hundred pounds, but... even an elk, a big elk, you know, you're not getting, you got a 600-pound elk, and I don't cut the bone. So I don't know if the bone, how much bone adds to the weight when you just cut the muscle out, you know? So when you're at a butcher and they're just cutting those bones and you're getting that whole leg bone and all those, you know, I'm sure it adds a little bit, but with me, I just demuscle everything, you know, because my
debone, you're looking for debone.
Or debone. Debone. I cut the muscles out. Well, yeah. I separate all the muscles is what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I just start cutting accordingly. And I don't, you know, they have all their cuts. But me, if it's a chunk of meat like this, it's a roast. And if it's not a roast, I cut it into steaks. And if I don't want steaks, I cut it in the whatever I'm making, stew meat, hamburgers, whatever. But most of it's hamburger anyway. Mm-hmm. That's just what we eat.
I grind everything but the back straps and inner loin.
Yep. I'll cut big roast out, because when you camp, you just take a 6-pound frozen roast out, throw it in the ice chest. When you get out there, if you want steaks, you cut some steaks. You want to make some burritos, you cut up some burritos.
He ages that piece of meat for 30 years.
20. 20.
It's like fine wine.
It hey, what's 2010? 10. It's only 15 years.
It's like nice. Cracking open a cold one. It just... Psh,
yep.
No one died. Nobody died.
You know, in February, if you'd send a care package with Casey and Cody over there to go hog hunting, they wouldn't even know what was going on.
Nope. You know, my best friend's wife, or a friend's wife, not a best friend, wouldn't eat none of that. I went to Walmart and bought a steak, pulled the cellophane off, put the elk steak. I literally cut it exactly same as that steak, put it back in the package and put it in the fridge. So I'm cooking steak. She's like, I'm not going to eat that. I said, no, I got one in the fridge. You know, grab the one out of the fridge. She brings it. She unwraps it. I cook it. Give it to her. She don't want it to touch nothing else. Eats it. And instead of saying, is that good while you're eating it? I waited an hour and a half. I said, how's that steak? She goes, that was good. Really good. I said, oh, really good? She goes, I took it out of the package. I said, you did take it out of the package. I said, but not what it came in. She goes, oh, you're bullshitting me. I said, go open that fridge and look in that bag right there. Look at that bag, and it was that steak that had the fat on it. And she's like, I said, you ate elk and you didn't even know it. And she goes, I know I knew it because my stomach was hurting. All of a sudden, your stomach was hurting. You ate it and you didn't notice nothing
at all. Kind of like Casey when I told him that was bear grease you were cooking with.
And all of a sudden, it tastes horrible. Damn. So, no. If they don't know what it is, I did see a video. I don't know if I sent it around. The guy cooked coyote, and he made some soup out of the whatever he made it out of.
And he said, it no matter what, it tasted terrible.
Well, no, he goes, taste the soup first, and they're tasting the soup. And they're like, man, this is really good. And he goes, now taste the meat. And they ate the meat, and they said it just tasted like throw up. No matter how he cooked it, it was, you know, they just couldn't get the taste out of it, I guess. Yeah. But if you're hungry enough, right?
I don't. You know, my grandpa grew up in the dirty 30s, and he said he ate raccoon a couple times, and he said that was the most greasiest, nastiest meat he's ever had.
Really?
It smells like a beef roast cooking. I don't eat it. I ain't never been that hungry.
Yeah.
I've had beaver, and I've had porcupine. They're real greasy, too.
No.
So I imagine it's the same as a coon.
Well, beaver's got a musky scent. You know, the meat even smells the same, and it's hard to cook that out.
Kinda I just like put on the fire and cook it.
You got to turn javelina into.
Well, this
so,
is.
You need to turn edible. Javelina into the. You need to turn javelina into the damn city dump.
You know, I accidentally shot some back in the 90s, and I pork chopped them out, cut them up, and barbecued them, and they were actually really good. So, but they were eating those melons. That's all they were eating was those melons. So I wonder if that. Sugar, you know, was embedded in their body.
Maybe. I mean, you listen to guys talk about killing black bears that ate, you know, I don't know what they're called, huckleberries or blueberries or whatever they have growing up north, compared to eating on a bear that's been sitting on an elk kill for 2 weeks, and they say there's a difference. But
they say those bears eating fish up in Alaska aren't edible.
Yep,
they're pretty bad.
They say they taste like rotten fish.
Really? I don't know. I've never had a bad bear.
How would you cook a bear, Benny?
He wouldn't.
At somebody else's house.
I mean, but most of the time, I think when you, I said, I mean, I don't know. I think it's just how I bottle it. You know, I throw a garlic clove in it, or I throw some slap your mama in it or whatever. And then if it sits for, I mean, it ages. And most of my stuff that's really old, a decade old, I mean, it's just really tender and they don't have. It has just a good meat taste. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, you can season chicken shit. I guess you can eat that too.
With enough ketchup.
Well, I can't remember.
Garlic and cheese will cure anything.
Yeah, they were cooking something, and the son's like, Dad, how is it? And he's like, it ain't bad if you go heavy on the ketchup and light on the chewing.
Idaho says, you cook a bear in a paper bag. When it's done, you toss the bear and eat the bag.
Hey, a buddy of mine cooked a javelina, and he cooked it in a crock pot. and he's cooked it and he cooked it and he kept seasoning it and he kept cooking it for about 3 days. His whole house reeked. And he said, I think I'm going to throw that javelina away. I said, you going to try to salvage the crock pot? He said, no, my wife won't let me.
To join the Arizona Working Dog Alliance, go to azwda.com and become a member or donate today. Help us educate the common public in wildlife management and conservation. Most of the time when you pit something, it comes out good if you do it right. And I've seen them pit those javelina and those goats. But I heard antelope ain't no better.
No, antelope, the only thing I've ever done with antelope is cut it up in little skinny pieces, soak it, and make jerky out of it.
Kind of like a desert bighorn.
No good?
I do not like sheep. I don't like it.
It's just, just stringy?
Kick one of your rams out till he's 12 years old and eats nothing but licking red rock off the desert because there ain't nothing out there for him to eat besides rock, and you go chewing on him.
That's the problem with those kind of hunts where you look for that oldest, most mature buck ram you can.
Ram. Yeah, you know, because they're once-in-a-lifetime tags, but man, you got better luck chewing on an old slipper than finishing that hunk of meat.
About like eating either. One of Casey's cows. They're on a rock. It's about like this.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen those cattle in Globe? They got at the mines? They have those big 45.
Oh, yeah, they're reclamation row. Hillsides. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all the animal activists are saying it's cruel for the cows. And obviously, they haven't been out in young Arizona where those cattle travel, or Unit 27 either.
I saw one of Casey's cows. I don't even know how it got to where it was at.
Just in a bad spot.
Like a black mountain goat.
I was lion hunting in Nevada in some desert bighorn sheep country, and Sarah was with me. And I looked across the canyon. I could just see all this dried up white, yellow hair. And I was like, there's a sheep kill. And I ran, like, old sheep kill. I was going over there to see if it was a ram or a ewe. I get there, and it's a Coriani, a young Coriani steer, dead, been dead forever, on a ledge. I don't know if he got ledged. Because I had an amateur rock clerk crawl to get up to him. He must have got ledged out and just died. Nothing touched him. He wasn't torn up, ate up, nothing.
Because nothing else wanted to go where he went.
Yep. I don't know how he got up there.
Y'all's buzzards aren't like ours. We got a pretty good cleanup crew here between them and the
pile. Well,
and he was a Coriani.
Most of the people are not the same anywhere else in the nation as they are where you live. So it would make sense that the wildlife is different too.
Yeah, there's some folks just south of me that they'll eat anything. At least once.
I guess we could talk about the topic that I always put up and we never talk about.
Give it a 3-minute window.
Yeah.
Yep.
Keep it short too.
Only been on here for an hour.
Yeah.
I think my son took up too much time.
That's what it is. He hogged it up.
Everybody was amazed you had a son.
Yeah.
Hey, and if I was standing next to him and he was standing there, they'd be more amazed. He's 6'1". I'm 5'6".
I think you talk about your daughter. Now, these days, I guess that could have been your daughter at one point.
Well, she was my first son. My daughter was my first son.
Yeah.
And she's pretty damn tough. And then Justin's the second, and Joshua's the third.
Well, time to get him a hound and get him in trouble.
You know, for years, that little toad didn't think that me and the dogs could produce anything if he wasn't with us. And I don't know how many lions it took for him to realize, hey, maybe they do know what's going on without Mike being along.
Oh, Cody didn't like to say she's my lucky charm.
Some people have all the luck.
I'm just the opposite, Benny. Everybody's glad when I'm gone because then they can catch something, not run skunks and cows.
My buddy, his fiance, she's been lion hunting with me twice. The first time we went lion hunting, we trailed a lion from pretty much sun up till dark. And then the second time we went out, we went and caught a big thumper tom. It did thing just did like what did it today, just a big old horseshoe. And the dogs ended up catching that tom 600 yards from the truck. Some people are just lucky.
Oh, my cousin, when it comes to bears, drives down a 300 road with a mutt dog in the front of his truck and starts barking, looks over, and there's a bear running along with him on the side of the road. He gets out and shoots it. He's down in 27, reading a sign that says, be careful with bears, pack this out, looks up, and there's two bears running. Shoots it. I said, let's go run dogs. He comes to my house. We don't get up, leave till 7:30. And he's all, shouldn't we have left early? I said, nah. We get out there, park, walk up the hill, start a bear, runs 30 yards from my truck, round a circle. We drive over on the other side. I said, they're like 200 yards. They're not treeing. They're doing something. They're probably chasing deer out. Get out, walk towards them. I'm like, here they come. And the damn bear just comes running right at him, and he shoots him. It's like, God dang. Yep. Luckiest bear guy I've ever seen. Luckiest bear.
Well, the one good thing about Justin being so involved with those dogs was they would listen to Justin just like they listened to me. They would hunt for Justin just like they hunted for me. So if there was an instance, I killed a Tom over here in the Guadalupes, and some guys came by and picked us up and said, well, there was two lions. I said, yeah, I'm not going after that. And we found a track later on, and water was running across the track. It was underwater. And he says, you think your dog could smell that? I don't know. I can't smell what my dog can smell. So I got Derek out, and I said, hey, Derek. And I pointed, here he goes. He stuck his nose down there in the water. And, you know, you can't believe this unless you witness it. But he's acting weird, but right where there was a rock there, he picked his face up and bawled a little. And he ran off outside of the water, and he started trailing. Him and Tripp started trailing. And that guy said, well, you going to go? And I said, I'm not going. He says, well, you mind if my dad goes and tries to get that lion with your dogs? I said, I don't care. Hey, Justin, go with those guys so that those dogs will hunt. So, you know, there's good and bad, you know. But it was always good to have my son with me. No matter, I'd say, hey, we got to get up and leave at 1 o'clock in the morning. And he was up and dressed. He was out there catching horses. He was helping me load the tack. He was right in the middle of all of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I was asking if he got burned out. Because like my 11-year-olds, when I'm out of town, like I brought 10, 11 dogs down. So I still got 1, 2, 3. I got 3 hounds at home. Plus 2 labs, 3 pit bulls, and a cur dog that kills coyotes, or a catahoua. And I'm always afraid he's going to get burned out. So when I'm not there and I got 10 dogs down here, it's kind of like a vacation, you know, because they're only feeding 4 or 5 dogs that they're on a chain. So, and then where I'm at, they're scattered all around in the trees, right? And here, they're literally just a line. You go all the way around, dogs are fed. I got 4 right here, I got 4 in a line and 2 on the end of the trailer. I'm literally surrounded by dogs. So it's very easy to feed and water. Each 2 dogs has 1 water. They share a water. So It's just so much easier. Except, and what's crazy is I got neighbors here, but where I'm at, I'm kind of tucked in and you can't see around me. That's why I moved my dogs in the cedars. I don't want that. So, but it kind of segues into raising puppies. So my kids, they respond, you know, puppies respond to the kids a little bit better. But it's kind of funny because Lyndon, you know, he's 11 years old, you know, and I'll let the dogs out and he tries his little man voice. So he kind of, come on, but he's 11. So it's not very manly. You know, he tries and his voice changes. Them dogs don't care. You know, they know that when I'm calling them, it's time to not be stupid because they'll be yelling at him, dirty, get here, dirty, dirty. And I'll walk over there and I'm like, dirty. And he'll come running over, you know, but maybe it's just the voice authority. But I think it helps out raising these pups, which is kind of our topic that we didn't talk about again. I guess we can end the show with here in a little bit, but you know, having those kids involved with those puppies, I think makes a big difference, you know, but you see Troy Biddle's dogs and I don't know if he has grandkids maybe, but his dogs, he spends a lot of time with the dogs, period. You know, and when I said whelping box to the tree, I think people who can raise their own dogs very young or even have their, you know, own puppies out of their own litters, I think that creates a better bond, I guess, imprinting, like we've talked about before. Getting these dogs started and manners and working for you.
Look at the comments, Chris.
What? Who is it? Jack Terrier, Larry Hendricks hound puppies ready to find a new zip code if anybody's in.
So where did the Larry Hendricks dogs come from?
Are they crossed?
A Jack Terrier hound.
Okay.
That's what I get out of it, right?
Yeah.
That's what I take from it.
It's a cross.
Yep. I didn't know if you had Jag Terrier pups and Larry Hendricks pups.
Maybe he does.
Them Jag Terriers are bad little dudes.
They are. And man, I just didn't want spend $700.
They said they'll kill your cats, and then they'll go down and kill your neighbor's cats, and your neighbor's cats, and your neighbor's cats, and then they'll just clean up everything else in the country.
So was that was this a cross pup between Larry's little wired black wire haired dog and a hound, or was it a hound pup that Larry gave to you?
He said Larry Hendricks handed her to him.
Yeah,
which one? The Jack Terrier or the hound?
Or is it a cross? Because Larry, the last dog that Larry had was I think he called him Boxcar Willie. It was a little black wire haired dog.
The delays.
Drum roll.
Yep.
The damn delays.
But the best dog that I ever had that would mind and still hunt hard was when I was homeless and I was living on the front of the truck and they were living in the dog box.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but I was also messing with them every day doing. I was doing day work here and there, and then I was hunting as much as I could.
There's your answer, Benny.
There you go.
I have about 10 Larry Hendricks pounds that he gave to me, but it's a cross with a Jag Terrier that I have. How do you think that's going to turn out, a Jag Terrier and a hound?
Obnoxious.
Tough son of a gun to mess with.
Loud and obnoxious.
Hard-headed.
Guys have crossed hounds up with everything. I mean, I've heard of guys doing it with... Healers, cow dogs.
Greatest thing since sliced bread.
Border collie.
Border collies.
That's what Stinker is.
Wasn't there a guy up in the Yavapai, Benny, that crossed him up with bird dogs?
I never heard about that. But I know where do you guys think the Catahoula came from?
I know some big time blue tick breeders that used to breed German short hairs in there, and you'll get some liver spotted blue ticks on occasion.
There's your dog, Benny.
Oh, I love high tans. I got a soft
spot. What about the high tan grabs you?
I just love that color. The saddle, I just always have. It's like I always wanted red ticks, and I ended up with 2/3 of my dogs were red ticks, and so now I have red ticks. But I always love. I had 2 high tans in my life, and both of them were phenomenal dogs. And I don't. It's just a color, you know. Aesthetics, I guess.
My thing was blue ticks in the day. I wanted blue ticks. And then my buddy gave me a walker. He gave me 2 walkers. And they accidentally bred. I had a bunch of mutt puppies. I called him. I said, hey, man, I think a Rottweiler or something bred my dog because there's these brown ones. And I sent him. I don't think I sent a picture. I think he came over. I don't think this is 90s. I feel like I sent a picture, but... And he said, no, man, that's black and tan. They have a lot of black and tan in them. And I was just like, and red dogs. And I'm like, holy shit, it looked like 2 walkers. And you would think you just threw all those different pups. But
so I've got some buddies. And the original cross they did was a black and tan and a blue tick bitch, I think, or vice versa. But every now and then, now it's just been crossed up with black and tan, black and tan, black and tan. But every now and then, they'll throw a blue tick in there in the litter.
Recessive genes. That always throws people for
one shows up in the wood pile every now and then.
Yep.
Well, I had Luke was my good dog and Cece was my good dog. And I bred Cece right before I went down on a cancer hunt. And I lost Luke. Got ran over by a javelina hunter out in the middle of nowhere. So I got lucky on that. But same thing. They could throw red and blues all like I. So I bred Dirty, which is out of CC was a red tick. Luke was a blue tick. Big blue tick out of New Mexico. Can't tell you who. Got him from my cousin. And then I bred Luke or Dirty, who was. And then CC had everything in her down the line, you know. So I bred Dirty to a blue tick, and he's a red tick. And it just I got one red tick out of all of them. I have 6 out of that line and 1 red tick. The rest are blue ticks. So then everybody's like, oh my God, where'd you get all the blue ticks? I'm like, well, they're blue ticks now. But if I bred 2 of those blue ticks somewhere down the road, I could get a black and tan walker, red tick, or blue tick because of the grandmother's line was mixed up.
Yep.
You know?
Much like that litter that this puppy I've got off Casey's, there was 2 black and tans, red ticks, and walkers all in one litter.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I got my sister has a black and tan, and I got a red dog.
And I got a black and tan.
And he's kind of, I call her Cochina because I called Dirty because he had a black spot. Looked like he'd walked under my Cummins when he was a puppy. I thought he was just under my Cummins all the time, you know, getting that oil on his back, but it was what he is. And the same thing, Kachina has that black stuff on her back. Looked like she'd been walking under a diesel. And that's out of Casey's stuff. Red dog.
Tell you one thing, if I ever get a pup again, which I will, but I'm going to send it down to Jeremy for till it's about 6 months old, 5 months old.
Just to run what? Coons?
No, Jeremy, he messes with his that little black and tan dog of his every day.
Oh.
She was a little standoffish to my nephew at first, but I come in from lunch, I got off work at lunch and come in, and he's laying in the yard, and she's licking him up from one end to the other.
He sends me videos of that dog doing drags, or not drags, but running animals, harassing everything in the yard, playful, lovable.
And she was toting a cat around a while ago in her mouth. It wasn't dead either.
So Gila Hounds, was that the hound rendezvous?
I can see your gears are all engaged, Chris.
Yeah, they were camped right behind me and my wife, the first rendezvous.
Which one were they?
They were Mr. and Mrs. Gila Hounds.
Yeah. Oh, them. Dang. Huh. Sat with you at the first hound rendezvous at dinner?
Yeah, that's before you got into the moonshine.
Maybe it was after.
There you go. There you go, Chris. Cody and Stacy Massengill.
Oh, Massengill.
There you go.
Mm. Yeah, like the message and stuff. And now I know now. Crazy, crazy. Oh, that's just bone pile. Oh.
No, that's Pendleton, Rowdy.
Yeah. Two bottles to be exact. That was the second. That's because those old boys, Chris Valapena, is that their last name?
Yeah, I think so.
They didn't show. They were over there deer hunting, wasting their moonshine up in Wyoming. No one cared about us down in Arizona. But Rowdy did bring
I came and brought the rain.
Mm-hmm.
You did bring the rain. You brought the rain big. You brought it big.
Benny.
Go for it,
Benny,
Jared.
How'd you start your pups up? Did you just let them run around the yard till they could keep up with the bigger dogs?
The last time that I put a bunch of dogs together, I had gone a few years without dogs, and I couldn't take it anymore. I found myself picking up people's coon dogs that were running up and down the river over here, and I told my wife, this is a bunch of crap. I'm going to have to do something. So I got a hold of some pups, and one from New River, Arizona, and one from Tucumcari, New Mexico. And I had them just running loose during the day, and they were out here trailing jackrabbits in the sand. You know, when you stop and consider in the summertime for a pup or a dog or anything to trail jackrabbits in the sand, they already had a pretty good head start on figuring things out. They trail them. There was always a cold trail, and you'd hear those two dogs out there. And they trail it till they jump that jackrabbit. And that jackrabbit just leave them in the dust. And, you know, there's a bunch of mesquite and blows sand hills and stuff out here. So they didn't see them very long, but they just let out a squall and tear out of there. And pretty soon they had to figure out how to find that track again because it made a lose. And they'd make circles until they could get that track ironed out. And then they'd start cold trailing that jackrabbit. And so a buddy of mine over there at Childs, Arizona, was looking for some 6-month-old pups to train. And so we made a deal. He took my pups over there. Well, after that, he kept my dogs.
Is this Jack Childs?
What's that?
Was this Jack Childs?
No, Childs, Arizona. On the Verde River.
I thought you said Childs.
Childs power plant down on the Verde. It's all gone now. Fossil Creek.
Okay. Yep.
So he kept my dogs till they were 3. And I finally had to go get my dogs back. But I put together a pack. I bought some young dogs from Dickerson and went around all over and just went to hunt. And the very first time that my dogs caught a lion on their own, they were instantly lion dogs. I mean, they were lion dogs as long as they had an older dog to say, hey, yeah, you're doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't confident enough in their own ways until they caught one. So we hunted and we hunted and we hunted. I bet I put 200 million miles on my pickup going everywhere hunting. And after that, those dogs were catching lions. And so every time I had young dogs or pups or anything else, I just turned them loose. My youngest son had three beagles. Mm-hmm. And so I turned my hound pups loose with those beagles and the same scenario, let them learn how to run rabbits.
Value Pack Dog Food, a phenomenal supporter of the working dog across the United States and the Arizona Working Dog Alliance. Go to specialty-feeds.com to find a distributor near you.
And people say, well, you know, then they'll run rabbits. Well, they run, they'd snort around a rabbit even at 6 or 7 years old. If there was nothing going on, a rabbit jumped up, they might throw a little interest. But by then, all you got to do is say, hey, get out of there. They'll come back. Mostly just by letting them be pups. But I have a unique deal here. It's a mile to the highway, and there's nothing to draw them that way. It just was natural for them to go different direction than the road. Right here at my house.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no, I had no neighbors.
Tell us about your little 1-year-old blow up lion hunter.
Yeah. So we were trailing that Tom today and the dogs, they got sticky in this rock lid. And before this happened, I had to go get this young dog. It's just turned a year old. She got ledged up in a different rock cropping below the dogs. I had to go get her.
Oh, she had up there barking. Was she up there barking like save me?
No, she was running back and forth trying to figure out how to get out of the ledge, but couldn't figure it out. I get her. Don't get me wrong. She was barking every now and then, but she just wasn't sitting there falling. And I get her, and I get to about 200, 300 yards from the dogs, and you can hear them barking, and she goes to them. But when she goes to them, she stops, gets underneath this tree, barks, and starts trailing up the ridge out of the rock cropping. And no one pays attention to her. None of the young.
I was gonna say, what'd you think? Like, there she goes.
Well, I was just like, well, they're trailing 60 yards from her, so that could be it, you know. But none of the older dogs paid attention to her. So I'm walking over there, and the dogs go to carrying on, getting out of that rock ledge, and nope, she found the track and kept going with it, and they were actually behind her.
Do you think that will create trust now if she? You know, a dog barks, everybody looks over and sees who it is, and like
it might until a deer race happens, you know, and then they'll hear me light her neck up and they'll be like, oh, never mind, we're not going there, you know.
But that's a pretty good accomplishment for your year old.
Yeah, I mean, she just turned a year old, so she was born November 12th. Because the only reason I know that is because it's Sarah's birthday and we were at dinner. And my buddy that I get some dogs from called me and said, he just had a litter. Do you want some? And I said, yeah. But yeah, she just turned a year old November 12th. This is her first season. And she's seen 5 lions and she's chewed on 2. So fingers crossed.
Which makes a big difference when they're young, right? So if they've caught 100 lions, I guess it don't make so much a difference, you think? But when they're young?
Yeah, when they're young, like, you know. I tagged a lion last week, and I had a bunch of young dogs there, and they did the whole thing, you know. I had 4 2-year-olds there and a couple pups out of the 8. I had 2 experienced dogs, too, that are no BS, but I had a bunch of young dogs there, and it wasn't an easy track in the beginning, but they ended up catching that lion. It jumped out a couple times and got everyone excited, and I was just like, well, all the right dogs are here. They need to chew on one. Might as well let them chew on one. And he was a Tom. He wasn't a female. So I was like, good enough for me. Dustin made fun of me for it, but.
Dustin makes fun of everybody.
Yeah.
But where is he at to defend himself? Speaking of defending themselves, should we post our Derek memorial picture?
Yeah.
Lonesome Dove? Yeah. Where he has that sign that says, we don't rent pigs. There you go, Derek.
You should have put a Pomeranian on there.
Mm-hmm. We don't rent pointy-eared dogs. I would say we're just playing, Derek, but we're not. He'll watch it. He'll listen to it later.
I'm going to send you a picture of one of Derek's dogs tomorrow, Chris. You can use it.
There you go.
My mom's got a little black Pomeranian. Looks like his Karelian bear dog.
Hey, I didn't make it. I think that's what I did with my pups as well. Like I said, I have kids that play with them as soon as, Jesus, I don't even think the mom gets them out of the sack yet and they want to go play with them, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that helps out a lot. Plus, I have room to let them run around. So they'll run loose in my yard for a while. And I mean, I just now put those pups up from the rendezvous, you know, just because they were ending up at my neighbor's house. So then they got chain broke. And now they're down here with me on the chain.
Yeah.
I had a guy, he was talking about rabbits, and he said the best thing they can do is go chase rabbits, chase whatever they can. Mm-hmm. You know, and in the old just days, I had a good setup because I had cats in my yard. So that was real good for them.
They just need to learn how to manipulate that nose.
Yeah.
You know, and doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah. Yep. And then for manners and getting them to come to me, I always did the whoop, you know, and I'd go hide, and well, I'd go out my front door running loose, and I'd yell, and I'd throw food on my porch, and then after a month, I'd throw it out in the yard. So when I went whoop, all them dogs come running, and then they start using their nose. Because I just take hamburger or whatever, throw it out in the yard, little pieces, and they sit out there for an hour just trying to find it. And that was cool because I could see which one really was either following another dog trying to get a meal, or the one that was actually using the nose on her own to get her own meal.
Yeah.
And then I would do just some little drags. And then I got lazy because I had better dogs when I was older. And, you know, I still did that for manners and getting them to come to me. But when we get out there, you just start dumping them with the big dogs. And if you got a dog that puts his nose down and you got a good puppy that follows it, and they just learn off of that. So you get kind of lazy when you have good dogs. But then you lose your second and third dog like I just did in the last year. And now I got Dirty, and I got pups that aren't to the level I need when he dies.
Yeah. So, you know, like
if he dies right now, I'm going to have to train dogs again. Like a lot more free casting, a lot, you know what I mean? A
lot more work to go into it.
A lot more work to go into it. And I don't mind it, but when you get lazy because you have good older dogs, you know, I remember Vaca, like right now, Vaca has this tumor on her head. Like her whole line is cancered out. Sydney cancer, her mom cancer, her dad cancer. You know, I was hoping it'd kind of skip out, but I hadn't bred her for a long while. The only problem with her is Stinker is out of her, and then that Border Collie. So I'm hoping she don't get cancered out. You know, I had to put Sydney down because she got really bad, and she was young. She was only like 3 years old. You know, Yucky was only 2 years old, and he just got some weird, I don't know, West Nile or something. I don't know what it was. Now I'm going to have to go back. But I love training puppies, and I love puppies. I love raising puppies. I just like watching them go and grow, and, you know, it's just fun for me.
Yeah. See, that's like,
that's just what I told Casey the other day. This dog right here is by far the smartest hound I have ever owned.
And that's out of some of that Shelly stuff, right? Those dogs out of Casey.
No, Benny. It goes back to
Wade Eckel, don't it?
Wade Eckel, yeah.
That's your black and tan?
But like me, I'll get a pup, and we got a fenced-in yard. It, you know, it's not like what Benny has or nothing. It's you've seen it. It's an acre. Yeah,
I see a lot of Achoya.
Yeah, they learn about cactus real quick in my yard. I keep
– They need
there's
to.
Achoya. Yeah, there's – well, I'll knock the – it's also to keep the – we got a bunch of stray dogs around here too, but I'll knock Choya off, and I'll plant it around the edges of the yard. Keep the strays out, and it keeps the dogs in. But them pups will run around. Yep. Them pups will run around and in the yard. And then if I'm home and not hunting, or if Sarah's at home, we'll just keep all the dogs at the house, and we'll have 12 dogs running around the yard, you know. And that helps with not annoying. They learn not to annoy the big dog. Because as soon as they start going up to my 9-year-old dog and start pulling on her ears,
sets them in her place. Sets them in their
place. She won't whoop them, but she'll snap at their face.
Yeah,
and they're like, "All right, I ain't doing that."
Well, they learn their place in the pack for certain.
Yep. And it's fun to watch them gradually move up and take their place as they get older. And they get older. Like Yucky, he got to where he knew he was part two. He would run with him, and then he would like follow Dirty around, and then it got to the point where he started treeing his own stuff, especially bears. If he was gone and he was treed, I never found him on trash. He would tree a bear by himself. He was just that dog that wouldn't run out long. And if he did start running out long or taking off, he was more than likely on something.
Yep.
You know, and he just, one of them things, man, got sick.
It's cool to see them go from being super annoying,
trailing everything, taking off, not seeing them for half the day because they're running deer and what have you, to fast forward maybe a year, maybe 6 months, however quick they turn on to actually just hammering down a lion or what have you, to all of a sudden they're not just kind of trailing, kind of being annoying to the other dogs, you know, pack barking, puppy barking, to hammering down, trailing, and all of a sudden, now they're not behind everyone else. Now it's one or two. Now they're one or two in the pack at 3, 4 years old, 2 years old, what have you, depending on how hard they click and learning. And all of a sudden, you're not looking at that nine-year-old dog to strike the track. You're looking at that dog.
Mm-hmm. Well, just like your one-year-old, right?
Yeah. Today, I mean, she...
It's like they just flip a switch. Boop.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Just takes time, I think. And I think if you're getting into hounds,
time
probably and why Benny's son, he knows what it takes. So in order for him to step back into those shoes, he has to make sure he got some good shoes on.
Yep.
Because he does know what it takes. But he does remember all this stuff. And I think it's important to pass that on to the, you know, the grandkids or your kids. And I hope my, you know, my sons, they get mad because they have to feed dogs sometimes or rake crap or whatever. But, you know, it's kind of like Tiger Woods. If you had a three-year-old kid that took hounds like Tiger took to golf, you just have the next Ben Lilly or the next Dell Lee or the next whoever. Of course, then you have to deal with it. Yeah. Them leaving at midnight or by themselves at 12 years old.
There's a kid I took lion hunting, and we caught a lion together. And before we caught it, we were looking for the out track. And he's 12, and his ability to find and read sign at 12, it's better than some guys that have been doing it for 10 years. He just has it. I mean, he texted me one day, and he's all, hey, a coyote trapper had a lion run across his in front of his truck in the desert behind your house. Can you go? And I'm like, man, I'm at work. I can't go right now. Okay, I'm going. Uncle said I can take a side-by-side. I'm leaving. He went, found the track, took his year and a half old pup, and went out and hunted that bugger. He didn't catch him, but they went after him and hunted him, trailed him, everything, you know. And it's funny because he hits it hard. He's getting, I talked to his dad about it, and he's all, I was like, so how's it going? And he's all, meth would have been cheaper.
Yeah, but meth will shorten his life. Hounds will make it look like you've had a long life at a young age. Isn't that right, Casey?
Casey Fair. The feral Casey Fair.
And then
how's it going, guys?
Good. That young kid just sent me a text the other day, and he's all, hey, have you ever caught a porcupine before? And I was like, yeah, I've caught a porcupine. And all he sent text back was, okay. And I sat there for a little bit, about 5-10 minutes, waiting for him to tell me he caught one. And I texted him back. I'm like, did you catch a porcupine today? And he's all, yeah, I don't know how to get the quills out of everyone's face. And I was like, you're going to have to grab your dad, and you're going to have to hold those dogs down and pull them out. And they did. They only one dog, she had him in her mouth way back, and they had to take her to the vet. But everyone else got out.
Maybe I'm a bad dog owner, but I got tired of I've never took to the vet. I went and picked up some pills one time. I used to have Rompum, and I would just knock them out and then pull them. And then they gave me some pills that didn't work, and it was Andy, the dog I hated and loved so much. And it got to the point where I left him in. I'd gave him shots of penicillin so he wouldn't get infected. I'd water his food down.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left him in, it took about 2 weeks for him to fester out. And every once in a while, I'd walk by a pair of pliers and just grab it, and he'd yank away. You know what I mean? Let him pull him. And he still lived. He had some bad scarring, but he never chased porcupines again after that. But I just left him in, and I just made sure he didn't get infected up, and probably not what they suggest to do, but it worked for me a couple times on some dogs to where I would get the bigger ones out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had them through his tongue. He had them through his, even when I gave him those pills, I didn't have no good romp them. When I gave him those pills, even then, it wanted nothing to do with me. No matter how zoned out he was. So I said, well, F you. Left him in. Every once in a while, I'd walk by with a pair of pliers when I fed and grab a hold of one, and he'd yank away and he'd yank out. So that's my
porcupine
tip.
Go ahead.
No, that's my porcupine tip.
There's new blood here on the screen. What does Casey do to get his pups going?
Shit. He lives in the get going.
I understand all that, but you can also lose those pups for days at a time where Casey lives too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we just, them pups just get turned out around here. They learn, you know, house cats, they learn how to trail. And then when they, you know, we tie them pups up, kind of get them to where they know their name. They start to come to you. And then we just take them hunting. When them dogs can follow us out of the house, they can follow us out of the house. You know, they if they get lost and they can't make it home, you know, we collar them dogs and go look for them. You know, back in the old days, they didn't make it back to the house. We just didn't think on keeping them. But, you know, I mean, very, very seldom that ever happened. But we just, you know, we don't do drags or anything with them dogs. They learn how to hunt on their own and just follow the old dogs and learn from there. You know, I try to break my dogs pretty early. Once they see some game, you know, if them dogs are right there and we're getting hunt a bunch and them dogs get in on line or bear or so, you know, a couple times, and then the BS is over. They know what we're after and they get knocked off. It starts to get knocked off the trash.
Yep. That works.
Well, I guess yep. If you get them out there a few miles and they make it back home, they're kind of intelligent. They got a little bit of smarts to them.
I've had pups with me that were 9 weeks old, and they get lost in the fray, and I have to make that same circle through that country for 2 or 3 days, because now you got a little pup like that lost, and they're boogered. And you can call and call and call, and ain't no way in hell they're coming out from underneath their bush. But when you make that pass through that country and you get them dogs, just go slow and let those dogs spread out looking for stuff, sooner or later that pup will bump into one of those dogs that he knows. And usually for me, I don't know, Casey, if you've ever had that happen, but that's the absolute last time that pup ever got lost.
Yeah. And you know, things have changed so much. We don't lose dogs no more. And I was talking with a neighbor of mine this year about that. And you know, like some of them young knothead pups, you go hunting and they go run them a deer or something, and you just go on about your way, and you know, you're letting the process take its course. But then you get home and you think, man, that dog's got a $350 collar on. I got to go find that pup. And you don't find that pup. And no, really, like, are you doing that pup any good? I mean, in all honesty, back in the old days, you let that pup live in the woods overnight and then, you know, go back and find him. Or, you know, he comes dragging in 2 days later or something like that. That dog kind of got to where he'd pay attention a lot faster than they do when we kind of like society, we kind of welfare them a little bit by going and, you know, saving them from having to live in the woods that night. You know, I think when them old dogs had to live in the woods, they may not run that deer near as far. You know, they may give up and come home. You know, they get left in the woods. They're like, hey, I'm going to miss that bowl of food and a warm dog box tonight. You know, I better go back and find that guy. You know, I don't know if that's correct or not, but it seems like it to me. You know, like I said, we come home, go get in a buggy and go find that dog. You know, he's heck, the collars on him is worth more than that puppy is half the dang time. So, you know, I think we get more track minded about saving our collar versus, you know, let that dog stay in the woods overnight and go get him. And, you know, next time or tomorrow or the next day, maybe he might quit being so hard-headed and come back to you.
Yep. It's true. That's 100% true. You know, we were talking, me and Dustin, and we were talking about that the other day at the campfire, and our buddy was there, and he grew up with hounds in the 90s with his dad. And he's all, those dogs back then always knew where we turned out from. He's like, all we had was a beep collar on them, and we'd just sit there and we'd point it and it'd beep, and we'd sit there and wait another half hour and it'd beep a little bit stronger. And he's like, finally, hour, maybe 2 hours later, the dog's back at the truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nowadays, you know, I'm guilty of it too, chasing dogs around the mountains for the same reason. And it's just, you know, that dog sitting in the bottom of a canyon doing circles, trying to figure out what's the easiest way to leave the bottom of the canyon.
Yep, exactly. 100%. Yeah, we're not helping that dog figure out how to come back to where, you know, you turned him out or how to find his way home. We go save him. You know, we go rescue the poor little sucker. He's in the bottom of a canyon. He's down there howling at you and you're pulling your hair out because that dumb little sucker won't come out to you. You know, he's down there. He's scared. Let him get over it, you know, overnight. But governments have changed that deal in us. I mean, for the good, really, but I think it sets them dogs back a touch. I mean,
yeah, it's a catch 22.
No. Yeah. I mean, are we going to change it? Probably not. We're gonna, man, I got to go get that dog tonight, you know, and then you just bundle up and you go find where he's at and stand there and holler and scream at him, where before he didn't know where he was at. So you didn't know where to go look for him. You just built a fire and you stayed warm that night, got up next morning hoping he was on the porch, or you went back where your saddle blanket was, wherever you unloaded for the day, and seen if the dog, you put some food out for him and see if he showed up, you know.
Let's give a shout out to Cold Strike Gear, phenomenal supporter of the Arizona Working Dog Alliance, as well as the Freecast and Podcast. Head over to coldstrikegear.com for your hound gear and apparel. Let's help out those that help out the hound community.
And then he was happy to see you. Now they just, it's like they walk by like, I knew he'd come back, you know.
Yeah. Or you do leave him out for the night, you know, because you can't get to him or you can't find him or whatever. And then you get a phone call the next day and he's with some lady or guy in Phoenix and they drove him all the way to Phoenix. And now you got to drive 3 hours to go to Phoenix.
Yeah. I could tell you a story. We had a dog picked up in Star Valley, Arizona one time, and they hauled that dog all the way to Mesquite, Nevada, and called us and said, hey, you got to come get this dog. Like 3 days later, it's, where you at? It's Mesquite, Nevada. Like, where'd you get the dog at? Well, we were coming through Payson, Star Valley. Like, well, I guess you own a collar and you have that dog. And they're like, no, you got to come get him. He's eating up our motorhome. And it's like, well, you should have thought about picking that dog up, you know, and hauling him across the country.
You could have called me 2 days ago.
Yeah. And like the, you know, it had an Arizona phone number on it and an address. Maybe you didn't know where Tunnel Basin was, but don't drive to Nevada with the dog. You know, they just thought they'd found him a pet until the pet wasn't a pet no more. The pet was a problem.
It must be bred into your dogs about tearing stuff up. Myra is on me about this one, eating stuff.
Oh, tell Myra to get over it.
That's what I told her.
I can see that sitting here because I'm a long ways from her.
I told her the dog was cheaper than she was.
I bet that went over like a turn the punch bowl.
Yeah.
I think the gist of it is just spending time, a lot of time.
Yeah.
You know, I see Troy Biddle, he posted stuff where he took the puppies out. And that's what I love to do, is throw them in the dog box, take them out in the woods, and throw them down and just watch them. Because it's a whole different world and smell for them. And you just watch those little pups. Like Troy Biddle posted taking those pups out and taking them up rocks and just, you know, getting them out, used to stuff. That was one of my favorite things to do when you took the whole litter out and just watched them smell those logs. Because they never smelled a decomposing log before. You know, they haven't smelled pine trees before. And I just love watching those dogs use their nose. So that's my favorite thing.
That's what you got to do. You got to focus on getting those pups. Don't teach them how to use their nose. Be there and encourage them in the right area just to go out and be a hound, because hounds are specifically bred for that nose. You know, it doesn't matter what other kind of dogs you're interested in. Hound is specifically bred for that nose. And once they figure out their little brain waves, how that nose operates and what they can do with it, then the world is at their fingertips.
You know, I always tell, you know, when guys call you about starting dogs and stuff, about they're doing drags, they're doing this, I just tell them what I do. And then I also say, I've never had to force a good dog to hunt.
Period.
Yeah.
So going back to those pups getting lost, those pups that get lost back in the day when everybody didn't have these collars that they've got, where they was worried about that, we'd leave those pups out there.
Mm-hmm.
And if the pups ran, like I had a, I don't know, she was probably 10 weeks old, took her hunting with me on the blue, and she ran off running deer. And the gal I was with said, you want to go get your pup? I said, no, well, it was cold. I'm going to go to the cabin over here and we're going to start a fire in the cabin. We're going to eat lunch. And you know, in about 45 minutes, that pup came in. And to me, that shows a different caliber of future dog. When a pup that little will trail you up right away or find their way back to the house or do whatever it takes, than one that'll just sit out there whimpering for 3 or 4 days. That doesn't mean that the one whimpering won't make a dog, but it won't make the same caliber of dog as the one that sorts out how to connect that nose and that brain all at the same time with a little bitty.
Yep.
Yeah, and you see them pups transition. Like when we get to turning these pups out that we raise here, you know, man, they're gamey. They'll pull out and they'll go hunting and they'll you know, we'll watch them, just tiny little pups, and they'll go to the creek and, you know, they're out doing something. And then them dogs kind of hit a little transition deal, like, okay, we get to get out. So they go run around and they go hunt for 10 minutes. And then they learn, heck, I'm going to come back and they're, I'm going to be on the porch. And, you know, then they're not, you know, they're kind of in that teenage stage per se, like they're looking for something else to do. You know, they're distracted easily. They're like, heck, if we're on the porch, you know, the Jack Russell's going to come out and, you know, we're going to get petted on, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's almost feeding time, or they're going to put us up. And Diana will take them dogs and them pups, and she'll pull out of here. She'll go for a walk, and she'll get them dogs to go with her, you know, where they're not going on their own. They're going with her. And you know, sometimes she has to encourage them and coax them on, and she'll take them to go hunting, and she'll take one of them Jack Russells, and she can sick that Jack Russell on a house cat around here, you know, and that little dog will go to trailing around there. And before long, and it doesn't take long at all, you'll look and them pups, you know, instead of just, okay, you know, they're just lollygagging along, their brains are off somewhere else, and they're just being teenagers, they'll fall right in there with that other dog. And they're like, okay, we're going hunting with you. You know, we're going to put our nose on the ground and go to hunting. I see her do stuff like that all the time. And it's like, dude, that kind of works. You know, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have took the time to do that. You know, I kind of get bowed up. I'm like, this dog's on the porch. Like, this dog was a little rock star 2 weeks ago, and now he just meet me on the porch, you know, like he wants a pork chop or something, you know, like, hey, you ain't pulling your weight. And it made me stop and sit back and think about it. I'm like, you know, he's like a 14-year-old kid, you know, he ran wild and free for a minute, but now he just knows what he knows, and he's bored with it or whatever, and he wants to sit on the porch. And that's, like I said, that's where Diana, and then she just takes them pups, and I'm taking them pups. I'm like, where are you going? She's, I'm going hunting with these pups. And I'm like, are you lost your mind? I'm like, we got stuff to do. And no, it kind of works. You take them dogs and turn them loose, and before long, they're standing right there with you. And when she says, let's go, and she can just start out of here. By the time she hits the creek, heck, she just lets them go, and she'll just sneak back to the house. And dogs will be gone for 2-3 hours. You know, like, they just go hunting. But she's got to make that initiative deal with them to get them back interested in going. And boop, they pull out and they go to hunting.
Hmm. Well, we'll just bring all of our dogs down there, and she can do all of our litters.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
Diana's got a big enough heart. She'd be willing to do it at least once, wouldn't she, Casey?
Yeah, probably so. I got her. She's working now, so she's. It gets cold on the mountain, and then she's like, I'm gonna take a contract, and she'll go down there and hang out with the grandkids all winter long. And she's like, yeah, just send a couple horses down here, and you know, on my days off, you can come down and go rope. And she tries to change the whole agenda come wintertime, and I'm like, no, I'm hunting.
Oh, that's when you guys go over there with Cody in February, she'll get her fix for being warmed up.
Yeah. She was home this week, and she had 2 days off. She had to come home and bring me groceries. I got an elk hunter here. That's why I didn't get on earlier, Chris, when you sent me that. And so anyhow, she's like, it's too cold. She says, I'm headed back down. I'm like, you ain't coming home now, Thanksgiving dinner. She's like, I got one day off. I'm staying down there with the grandkids.
There you go.
Yep.
She don't want to get up in that cold weather.
I don't blame her. It's cold.
I tell her all the time she's getting long in the tooth, but she doesn't listen to me.
That's good stuff.
It finally cooled off here.
What is your weather like right now?
It was 59 for the high today. It's supposed to be 39 with 51 for the high tomorrow.
But you're still at, what, 80, 90% humidity?
About 95.
Yeah. We call those ice crystals.
Yeah. We call that humidity snow up here. Mm-hmm.
The good thing about that kind of weather, you can go swimming down there in the swamp and the alligators won't bite.
No, they'll be up till about 2 o'clock and then they'll be back out.
Huh. Sunning up or what?
Yeah, if it gets above 50 degrees, you'll see an alligator.
Well, heck, I say we call it a night.
Good enough for me. I'm not even going to cook tomorrow. I'm going to take a whole day off.
There you go.
I got to deep fry some turkey tomorrow. We got 2 turkeys in the deep fryer and 1 in the oven, and then 2 hams. And my brother went and bought a double oven, put it in his garage, you know, put it on some cinder blocks. I said, we need to put some casters on it. and we can just roll around wherever we need it. Yeah. One of them days where I'll be trying to take a nap by 3 o'clock because I ate too much.
Heck, you need an 18-wheeler of turkeys just to feed all them kids.
Well, so my brother says, everybody come to my house. And I said, you know, I got 17 people. just me, my kids, and my grandkids. So he has a big house. We'll have like 40 people in there.
Oh, man.
Then I'll be trying to do some hunting the rest of the weekend.
There you go.
I think my old lady is talking about leaving Saturday, but she always says that, and then she won't leave till Sunday. But then sometimes she'll say, well, the kids can miss a day of school. She don't like the cold either, so she'll stay till Monday.
Yeah.
That's why you homeschool. Well, Casey, thanks for jumping on.
Oh, you bet. You bet. You guys have a happy Thanksgiving. I kind of laughed about that today. Me and my hunter was talking about it. I think we spent probably about 25 years I've had Thanksgiving dinner with a stranger. Because our real party started on Friday, you know, the day after.
Yep. Found a gun.
Yep. Benny, get your son a dog.
You know what? If my son decides that he wants to have a hound, I absolutely know where to go.
And, you know, the good thing about that, you can go run with them, and when you're tired, you just leave.
Casey's got a few spares, Benny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He don't have 30.
That's the one thing that I can say, that I've made some good friends in this hound world, and I've made some enemies, but all you got to do is steer around those. But I've made some good friends, and through the years, it's paid off. And, you know, it was just like Madison has a pup that goes back to that Steve Smith and Larry Hendricks moonshine dog. And I don't know, did you probably heard about moonshine back in the day, didn't you, Casey?
Oh, I hunted around him.
Yeah. And so moonshine, there's two dogs. Dickerson ended up with Popeye. And Popeye always, every Popeye pup for years had a cowlick twisty hair on their neck or on their head or shoulder. And there's a young man over at Cliff that has some dogs that every now and then they'll throw one of those twists. And Moonshine had a blue eye, completely unhound-like. And every now and then, this young man has a litter of pups that has a blue eye. So that shows you that the blood is still out there and those recessive genes still show up. And when you can get into that kind of a situation, you're still dealing with dogs that have a high percentage of a chance. And that's just two that I know that I can say for an instance. There's a lot of other good dogs out there. There's a lot of top-notch dogs that have still got bloodlines out in the world. So just got to be amongst them.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you got to give them, the chance. You got to take them out there in the dirt, and you got to be like Diana Fair and encourage them to learn that nose.
Be feral.
Just be feral. Just got to take that time. A lot of time. Hounds takes a lot of time.
Yep.
The more time you give your dog, the better your dog's going to be. We've always talked about a lot of dogs are failed because of the handler. You know, I know I've ruined a few dogs. Hopefully you learn from your mistakes, and I know kind of what not to do now or what to do. And, you know, the great thing about the internet is you can always ask somebody their opinion. Always. You may not be right.
Oh, shit. The keyboard warriors are as strong as they've ever been now.
Oh, yeah. They all have their opinion. I mean, there's a print posted. If there's a footprint posted, and you could tell it's a dog, and you see people getting on there saying it's lying, and you're just like, are they joking around? That's a jaguar.
I resemble that.
Crazy.
Just ask Casey, Chris, and Jared. I'm trashy.
I sent a print to Jared the other day because when you kind of look at it close and kind of has that little, and he says, that's a fox, but I think it's too big for a fox. But it.
Well, you just sent me the whole track with no
comparison. I did, and it was in sand and been rainy a little bit. And my cousin, he's like, man, I haven't seen a lion over here in a while. So that's why I sent you the whole, you know, as big as this boot. And it wasn't really a dog track, but it was a dog track kind of. But it
the two front toes are way too forward to be a lion.
Yeah. But that pad didn't look as pointy as a dog. But it's just like they say, you can make anything into a lion track, except you'll always know a lion. Like you can make it, you try to make something into a lion track, but once you see a lion track.
Yeah. You can make a dog track into a lion track.
I can make cow tracks look like lion tracks.
I seen them do it too. Is that the back pad?
Yeah, a dog track will. A dog track can look like a lion track, but a lion track will never look like a dog.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All righty, guys.
Well, you guys have a good one. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Yep. All right. Happy Thanksgiving.
Take care.
All right.
Yep. Two hours. 2 hours is a good show.
Yep. See you guys later. Happy.
You guys have a happy Thanksgiving. Benny.
Till next week.
Everybody. Keep going. All righty, guys.
Well. Bye.
Value Pack Dog Food, a phenomenal supporter of the working dog across the United States and the Arizona Working Dog Alliance. Go to specialty-feeds.com to find a distributor near you.